George in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hello, George. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm Protestant. Basically, because I was born Protestant, and I hung around Protestants my whole life. And then the last couple years, I began listening to this radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And I began, it's a long story, but I actually fellowship with a Catholic charismatic group twice a month.
Okay. And
that's been a blessing.
George, what's the one thing that would prevent you from taking further steps toward becoming Catholic? Is there a heavyweight champion of the world objection you have? I know there's probably maybe 5 or 10 or 3, but what's the one thing that sticks in your craw the most?
There's probably a couple things. One is the role of Mary and the saints,
mm-hmm.
as far as prayer, the whole thing. I understand where you get the scriptures to do it, which I just disagree with how you apply the scriptures. The other thing is the whole, and this might sound strange, but I've bounced around in the Protestant movement tons.
Okay.
And I've yet to find a church that I agree with everything that they do.
All right, George,
so
let's start there,
okay.
there, I should say, because, as for one, you mentioned Mary and the saints, which is a big topic on its own. And you think that the Catholic application of Scripture to found or to support the communion of saints is lacking or incorrect, right?
Well, the whole prayer thing.
Okay, so you
I guess we're going to come up on our break soon, George. I want to ask one question, and then we'll come back to this probably after the break.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people in heaven, are they aware of what's happening here on earth? And we're going to go to our break here in a moment. But did you say yes?
Yes, I'll say yes.
Okay, then I think that's crucial, and we'll go with that as we come back, because I think that really does inform what Catholics believe on this issue.
George in Grand Rapids. Raised Protestant, fellowships with Catholic Charismatic Group, and disagrees with us on the question of the communion of saints and praying to saints, especially the preeminent saint, in a way, the Blessed Virgin Mary. George, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Could you speak up a little bit, George? I was having trouble hearing you.
Oh, sorry about that. How's
Great.
That?
Good. And Trent asked you a little kind of thought experiment question before we went to our break, and that is, are the faithful in heaven with Jesus aware of the goings-on of the church on earth here below? That's the question.
That's,
right?
You
initially answered yes.
Yes.
That's an important direction then.
Okay. And then I think the other thing is, when we look at Paul's letter to the Romans and his Corinthians, would you agree that Paul says that there should be all Christians are united in one body and there's no divisions in the body?
Boy, do I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's always good to hear. So I guess for me, it just follows, if Christians are one body and those in heaven are aware of what happens here on earth, it would seem to make sense to me and even be a good idea to ask them to pray for those of us here. And I guess here's the reason why, Georgia, it would make sense to me. James 5:16 says that the prayers of a righteous person are very powerful in their effect. So that is an interesting scriptural truth, that prayers have different efficacy in how, close a person is to God in their effects. So
sure.
Would it make sense then that if those in heaven are more righteous than us, I mean, there's no doubt about that, then it would seem that their prayers would have more effect. And if they're aware of what's happening here, it would make sense to ask them to pray for us. Does this at least seem coherent to believe?
Yes, I follow the coherence of it.
Okay, well, and then my second question would be, does the Bible have any prescription that forbids this kind of activity for Christians?
Oh, okay. For me, it comes down to the examples that Jesus gave, like, Lord, teach us to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't really see asking the saints in obviously the Protestant version of the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
Versus asking a saint to pray for us. It's almost like, in a sense, I guess I wouldn't mind the saints praying for us, but us asking them to pray for us, to me, I just don't see it.
Do we see it in Revelation 5 and other places, Trent?
In Revelation 5:8, it speaks about the holy ones in heaven, the elders, lifting up the prayers of the saints being taken to the throne of God. But, George, I think that there's implicit evidence there, though I do think you're operating under a certain assumption, and that would be, as Christians, we must not engage in any kind of religious practice that's not explicitly described in the New Testament. But
I'm sure you could catch me on that one.
What's right. that, George?
I'm sure you could catch me on one or two on that one.
But therein lies the problem. Where in the New Testament does it say you may only pray according to the instructions we've given you here?
You mean in the New Testament?
Right.
It's kind of like I don't know what else to go on, and I know you guys have the teachings of church fathers and whatnot.
We believe that God's word is revealed in two forms. It's revealed both in what's God's word that's been written, which is sacred scripture, and God's word that's been preached orally and been passed on through believers through living tradition, the lived teaching of the church. And we see very early on, in, for example, the 3rd century, St. Cyprian of Carthage, I believe, spoke about how he who prays stands in the company of angels. And we've also seen in the early 3rd and 4th centuries inscriptions on Christian catacombs imploring the deceased to pray for those who are still here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, yeah, George, it's interesting when it comes to Protestantism saying, well, I don't see this lined up in the New Testament, but at the same time, there's nowhere in there saying that that's assuming that every way we must pray has to be explicitly described there. For example, there are Mormons who say they don't pray to Jesus because Jesus told us to pray to the Father, because Jesus never told us to pray to him. But obviously, just because he doesn't say that doesn't mean we can't do it.
Right. People went up to Jesus and talked to him. Right.
Well, sure.
Go ahead. Have you heard of Jimmy Akin's book, The Fathers Know Best, George?
No.
Okay, well, Jimmy Akin is a former Southern Baptist who came to Christ and wanted to be a Protestant pastor and thought and read and prayed himself into the Catholic Church. And it is the best single volume compilation work of the Church Fathers, from the early Church Fathers, which, like people like Polycarp and Irenaeus and Ignatius of Antioch, these are people who knew the apostles. So their writing is extremely reflective of the New Testament age, even before some of the apostles died, and on down to St. Augustine and onward. I'm looking at one full chapter here, George, called Mary, the Saints, and the Miraculous. And there's just one quote after another, as Trent was saying. The Church Fathers, Trent and George, often don't argue for things so much as presume them. By the way they speak of them,
it's something that
it indicates that everyone knows that this is what we believe as Christians.
It's something they had received. So I think, George, that might be one thing you might want to look in, is the writings of the fathers can help us look back on a time that's much more distant than our own to see what Christians believed and what was just assumed to mm-hmm. be orthodox that may not be included in Scripture. And the second thing, and this is my other question, it's interesting. Can a Protestant ask saints to pray for him? Let's say you're a Protestant, but you believe there are holy men and women in heaven, and you just come to this kind of biblical reasoning. A fellow Protestant, all he could say to against that, I mean, if you come to your own interpretation, then you're the ultimate authority on that. Wouldn't that be the case?
Oh, and that's very valid. A man in a room with a Bible by himself, that's a dangerous situation. I agree.
So I guess with this, let's just wrap it up. You said your basic argument against it was just, well, I don't see the practice in the New Testament. And I mean, that we can actually go back and forth a little more on this. My bigger question was, is there something in the New Testament or the Bible as a whole that tells us you must not ask for the deceased to pray for you, must not pray to saints? Because I haven't seen it there. Would you proffer anything different, or would you agree that this is something that may, let's just say your case, it may not be mentioned, but it's not forbidden either?
Yeah, in fact, the transfiguration might be an argument that you guys could use, saying that talking to the dead is okay.
Well, at the very least,
Jesus did.
Right, yeah. Well, and what's funny there is I would say that at least in that case, Elijah may not have technically been dead because he was assumed into heaven.
Mm-hmm. But that's true.
But we do know Moses died.
Yeah. And so the question is, are they dead guys or are they truly living?
Right, and it reminds us what Jesus said in Mark 12, and Jesus' response to the Sadducees, God is not God of the dead. He is, not he was, the God of Abraham. He still is their God at that time. So we just believe the saints that Jesus is the God of St. Justin Martyr, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. John Vianney. These people, that they are dead.
The future
from
St. Trenhorn.
We're still working on it. But they're alive in Christ. So, yeah. Oh, another. Can I recommend a book, though, George, on this subject, if you would like to read
Sure.
more? I would recommend Any Friend of God's is a Friend of Mine by Patrick Madrid. It's probably the most in-depth defense of this doctrine that I've seen.
It's simply written, too, in addition to The Fathers Know Best.
So I would recommend Madrid's book first and then check out Jimmy's book.
Check out our website, too, George, Catholic.com. I think you're in trouble, George. I'm just saying.
Oh, well, it's been a very interesting path to be on. And
sure.
I believe in the unity of the body of Christ.
Yep.
And I believe that we'll all someday be under one church. I really believe that.
Your lips to God's ears, George, and ask listeners to say a prayer for you and your journey and your family.